Gospel Solutions for Families is a program brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to the Mormon Channel. This is Gospel Solutions for Families. My name is Matthew O. Richardson. I'm second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we are joined with Elaine S. Dalton, Young Women General President, and her daughter, Emmy Edgley, who was recently named as Young Mother of the Year for the state of Utah. So we welcome you. This is exciting.
Thank you so much, Matt. We're so happy to be here together.
This is thrilling. As a matter of fact, the topic we're discussing is mother-daughter relationships, and I'm excited to learn from you and to glean what it is that you're doing that is right. I wanted to start this discussion off with a clip that we gathered from a mother, and I thought it would be a fun way to start because I have watched you two together from afar. As a matter of fact, the first time I saw you together was at a general conference, and Elaine, you introduced me, and I thought, you know what, if we could get these two together, this is what I would like people to see, but since this is radio, at least hear. And when I heard this clip from this woman, I couldn't help but think of you two and many other mothers and daughters. So I'd like you to listen to this and just join in what your thoughts are about this as well.
First of all, I love being a mother. I love being a woman. I love young women. I love older women. I love being in Relief Society. I have four beautiful women in my house. They're my daughters, but I've had the opportunity to work in young women's for years, and it has been pure joy. One of the things I love about daughters and young women and women in Relief Society, but specifically young women, is the fact that we can have conversations and we can talk. We talk about everything. We talk about life. We talk about boys. We talk about clothing designs. We talk about jewelry and accessories. We talk about sports. We can cover the world's problems in one conversation from beginning to end.
What's your thought about this? How do you react to this woman's comments?
I think she could have been me, because that's exactly how I feel. I love being a mother, and I really feel that that is what almost qualified me, if you can be qualified, for the calling that I have now. It's just the fact that I cherish motherhood. I have been an only daughter in my family. My mother was an only daughter, and now I have my Emmy, and she's our only daughter. We call her our favorite daughter because she was for a long time our only daughter. Now we have daughter-in-laws, but that's been my primary love and passion, is being a mother. I agree with the woman that was speaking. I love everything about the feminine side of who we are, our identity.
This might sound odd, but some people say, why would you start this talking about mother and daughter relationships with something like this? But I loved what you said there, and I think personally it's very important. Your view of mothering really does affect your relationships with your daughter, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're nurturers, and we're sort of born with that innate ability or gift to nurture. I saw that in Emmy. I remember when Emmy was born. I had had two sons before that and rejoiced that I was the mother of sons. But when she was born, I got up off that delivery table and went straight to the nursery where they had taken her, and the nurse scolded me. But I thought, I was just so excited. I thought she was the most beautiful gift that Heavenly Father could have given me.
Growing up, I had five brothers, grew up with five brothers, so there is something that's special about the mother-daughter relationship, and there is something, as this woman has mentioned in her quote, there is something about a mom and a daughter and their ability to talk and to share not just words, but when we share those words, to share feelings of the heart and, you know, genuine concerns and genuine excitement together.
And we can cover the waterfront, you know. We can talk about politics and shoes and gospel topics and cleaning and all kinds of things in one conversation. My husband teases me. He says, you're so random about the way you talk. But it's the way we connect.
So, you know, I think that's an important part of this is when we talk about connecting, maybe that's the grand element, the foundational principle here is learning to connect in relationships. So many people think that, oh, if you just go through a marriage ceremony, you're going to be connected. Oh, if you have biological offspring, you're going to be connected by virtue of DNA, etc. While all these factors do have something to play, there's something special, at least I sense when you're talking here, of connection that goes beyond just a title, just the fact that you share a similar address.
There is, definitely. And, you know, it's interesting because I think back on my upbringing, and I don't think that my mom and I connected over things that you would consider to be typically girl. We hiked together. We spent time together outdoors. We did things together that weren't necessarily related to those things of material possessions, but rather we had opportunities to be together where we could do something physically and then connect spiritually as a result of that physical activity.
Excellent. This is so important because I was talking to an associate about this program, and I said, we were going to be talking about mother-daughter relationships. And he says, oh, what is this, an hour-long program on going shopping together? And I thought, I think the vision needs to be expanded here. So when you say connecting in different ways, I think that's an important category, or at least a way to look at this is there are so many ways to do things in a relationship. And the important part is, does it connect individuals? So because you mentioned it's maybe not your typical way of hiking and stuff. Maybe that's typical to some, but the important part, it's connecting. Did that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How else did we connect, Emmy? I mean, it's almost an eternal bond, and I think that's part of what makes us maybe a little different is the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us a vision that's bigger than just for now. We have an eternal vision. It really is all about relationships when you think about that, when you think about the eternities. But if from the minute Emmy was born, there was such a connection, and I was so, so happy and felt so blessed to be her mom. As life goes on, as she started to grow, there was always a little connection. Emmy used to come with me when I would speak, and she was my visual aid. And she was so cute. I'd say, whose little girl are you, Emmy? And what would you say? Can you remember?
I think I'd say my mama's. That's what I would say right now.
She'd say, Heavenly Father's.
Oh.
And my mama's. And I'd say, you look so pretty today. And she'd say, I know. And it's interesting that as life goes on, some of that gets taken out of you.
Yeah.
You say, you look so pretty. And then you realize that's not politically correct anymore. But I always loved having her be with me because she helped teach other young women their identity. She was so solid in hers when she was young.
You know, I'm smiling to myself as you're speaking because I know you fairly well. And as you're talking about this connecting experience and having her come with you, I can't help but think of a scripture in the book of Proverbs, and you know this one well in chapter 31. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Now, for me, when I think about this particular passage in the scripture, is that's usually where most people read and they stop there in verse 10. But then what takes place is it goes on in the remainder of that chapter and it outlines what a virtuous woman is and how they can be virtuous. And of course, when you look in the Hebrew, virtue is an encompassing word of great power. These are powerful women. But this is what I was thinking of when you were speaking. It's in verse 15. Speaking of this woman, she riseth also while it is yet light and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now, isn't that an interesting thought right there? And when you were talking, I couldn't help but think of that as a virtuous woman is not one who just embodies virtue by her own, but she departs it to her maidens or her daughters. And so when you were speaking, I thought, what an interesting connection. Here is a situation where you have an eternal perspective of motherhood and womanhood. And I think that it's our responsibility that power in that type of a woman is given to the maidens in many different ways. And I couldn't help but think of that when you're talking. So your daughter, Emmy, you would hear her speak. And somewhere along the line, you're connecting with things of power. I mean, when the woman touches the hem of Jesus, he feels virtue go from him, or that power. That's interesting.
Yes. I do. I remember going with my mom to speak. And I remember how we would get ready together. She'd help me to do my hair, and then we'd put on a little bit of makeup that would make us sparkle from the outside.
And we had this cream, and it was just this gooey cream, and we called it our shiny. And Emmy would put shiny on. Emmy, I'd say, let's put shiny on. And it was just this clear cream that made her face shine. And then when we were up in front, I'd say, Emmy has on her shiny today. But what Emmy didn't know is she always had her shiny on.
Right.
Because she glowed from the inside with the spirit. She always has. She's just that kind of girl.
So tell me a little bit about how you make these connections and allow the gospel to come through practical suggestions. You're going to have a lot of mothers and daughters saying, oh, I wish that I had a little bit more of that connection. I wish I could depart some more of the things within me to my daughters. What are some practical suggestions you might offer to mothers and daughters? And here's ways you can make those connections. Here's some simple things. Here's things that have worked for us.
I think simple is the key word. We so often look for the grand solution. And yet I remember looking back, being in junior high and thinking, I probably should start to read my scriptures. I have the capability. I have the time. I've been urged to do so by my young women leaders. And I remember my eyes then being open to the fact that every morning my mom would sit down at the kitchen table when it was yet dark, just as the scripture you mentioned.
Right.
But how she would sit down and mark her scriptures and read through them and cherish them. I recall seeing that and my eyes being open to the fact of, my mom does this, so therefore I can do this too. That's something that's available to me, and I can do it on my own timeline and in my own way. As a daughter, seeing my mom do small and simple things and then trying to integrate them myself was one way that we shared a gospel connection. And I see now how much those small and simple ways have grown to be great things, how my mom's daily knowledge of the scriptures has become a knowledge that can bless other
individuals. Do you ever think about that as a mother yourself now? Does that ever come to your mind of thinking, oh my goodness, the cycle is coming around and I'm doing what I saw my mother? Does that ever enter your mind? Or
I hope I can do the things that I saw my mother doing.
Oh, I'm certain that you can.
She called me not so long ago, I think it was about 5:30 in the morning, and I said, what are you doing up so early? Because I'm always up that early. And she said, I'm becoming you.
It's true. Every time I wake up extremely early, 3:30, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and start to do laundry, I think, I am becoming my mother. Because that is what my mom did. She woke up, she would fold a load of laundry, she'd read her scriptures, she'd go and exercise, and she had already accomplished so much before the sun or any of us children had awakened.
It's obvious by watching you two talk and the way that you look at each other that you enjoy each other's company and that you are good friends, as well as that unique relationship. So the question might be is, what just pops into your mind that contributed to that friendship, especially from an early age, where I'm assuming that this has not been something that you've just come to be friends in the last couple of years, but this has been a lifelong experience. So what has contributed, especially in the early days when Emmy was young or when you were young, what was going on with connecting you together?
You know, again, I think it's what Emmy said. We didn't do big, grand things. It's the simple things. Like, I think one of the things that's really connected us together and our whole family are just family meal times, family dinner. We always had family dinner together, didn't we? That's when we had our family prayer, and it was a family thing. And then I think
mundane as
it seems, it's the clearing the dishes away, it's the cleaning up after those conversations and those times, I think, connect us more. Mm-hmm. It's folding laundry.
We always cleaned together too.
We'd clean together.
You use the word mundane, so that's the tasks of the daily. That's living, I guess.
It is
taking advantage of the mundane. I like this concept. Is because simple things or the so-called life things can yield these great results, it sounds like.
I think we sometimes feel that as women and mothers in the home, we are doing so many rote and mundane and messy tasks that those things are not important and that we'd prefer to discard them. And I've felt that way. But they really become important. They're small, simple ways that, as the scripture says, by small and simple things, great things are brought to pass. And those connections become deeper and deeper. And those rituals of living really become very, very sacred memories. I'm sitting here just looking at my grown-up daughter and thinking, where did all those years go and how can I bring it all back?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, too, looking back.
My house stays too clean now, you know?
It didn't at one point, did it? As I think about my childhood and I think about the spiritual lessons learned throughout my childhood, there's never a lesson that I can think of where we had family homemaking where we were sitting down. But typically, the lessons that have really stuck in my mind or that just feel like they're very solid are those that occurred, you know, in motion. We had a lot of devotions in motion in our family.
Say more about that. Devotions in motion.
I just don't feel like my parents ever, we had so many times sitting still, but we learned to serve because my parents were serving with us.
Okay.
And we were all moving together, or we all weeded the yard together. And my parents were able to tie those weeds and the long root contest that we would have in weeding into something that was spiritual.
I thought that was unique to our household.
And I mean, I just remember there was never a time where we were cleaning together where my mom wouldn't say, "So what are you thinking?" Or that was your line. You'd always say, "So what's in your mind right now? What are you thinking?" Yeah. Or if we weren't necessarily thinking of something, she would then say, "What about this topic? Or what's your goal? Or where would you like to be a year from now?"
You know, there's some people that might look at this or as they're hearing this say, "Oh, so what they're saying is you don't really need to have family home evening or these structured type of devotional experiences because it's just the living that's important." I don't know if I would say that I'm hearing you say that. Some people say, "Oh, I just do this instead of this." But when I hear you talk, it's almost like it's the combination of both opportunities weaving together in a very natural fit.
Yeah. Can you remember the family home evening when we all went hiking? We did that a lot in the summer when Dad stopped us and talked about the grove of trees.
I do remember that.
What do you remember about that?
I'm trying to remember if that was, I think that was near our home in Neff's Canyon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that hike specifically because we each would try to find trees that were the same height as we were. We would look for the new growth that represented my baby brother, Chad, or, you know, a tree that was partially grown, which might represent myself or my brother, Jess, and then those that were taller, my brothers, Matt and Zach, and then my brother, John, who was just, we can't leave him out, but he was just a little bit older than my youngest brother. But we would look at those, and then I remember my dad, we came to a grove of aspens, and how my dad talked about how those trees weren't standing alone. They weren't singular. They were together. And the reason why they were able to stand tall and strong was because their roots had intertwined.
Well, that's good. You are listening to the Mormon Channel. This is Gospel Solutions for Families. Today we're discussing mother-daughter relationships with Elaine S. Dalton, Young Women General President, and her daughter, Emmy Edgley. And we've been talking about ways of connecting. I keep on having little thoughts shoot through my mind as you're talking. One is a saying that I hear quite a bit in the world is, it isn't personal, it's business. It's interesting to me that some people approach family relationships as a business and they miss the whole personal side. But everything that you have talked about is a very personal experience. The mundane experience becomes personal. You're somehow connecting personal with everything you do. Trees, which tree is the same height as me? It's very personal. I think there's a unique lesson there about these relationships between a mother and daughter is finding ways to make things personal in a very real way. What's your thought on that?
I think similar to the business world, as families, we have to have strategy.
Okay,
there
good.
Has to be an overarching goal, and there has to be, you know, we have to say, what can we do as a family to be stronger than these outside forces that will definitely encroach upon our time together, upon our views that may originate from heaven, but be diluted into worldly ways. So I think that it is so important to have the strategy and to say, what are we going to do as a family to be, you know, cohesive? What are we going to be do to be strong? What are we going to do to grow together rather than apart? And yet, So that strategy does need to be a foundation or an overarching principle, yet.
Okay, with that in mind then, this is so good. With that in mind, what are you doing now as a mother, a young mother with two daughters yourself, to build those type of relationships? You have a relationship with your mother, and so Elaine, you've been there and been going through this, and now the next generation, and you have a strategy. What kind of things are you conscientiously doing with your daughters?
My husband and I just try to take every opportunity we can to wrap our arms around them. That's one thing, it's just the physical closeness. And just recently I was asked, what family things do you do together? What is your important family time? And so I was writing my answer to that question, and I wrote the answer of, we have meals together, such as my mom and I have spoken about, or we spend time doing these certain activities. And as I was writing those answers, my daughters came in and said, Mom, what are you doing? You know, and share with us what's happening. And I told them the question that I was answering and my answer to that question. And they said, oh, Mom, that's not right. What we do that's our most special family time is we snuggle together. And the girls look forward to Saturday morning because they know that Dad will be home, and they know that they can come and jump into our bed and we can create a family sandwich together. And we always say, who's going to be the peanut butter? Who's the jelly? Who's the bread? And what they choose will really dictate their placement within our arms. But just that time where we can wrap our arms around each other and be together, whether it's snuggle time or whether it's saying a prayer or whether it's when they finish school, the first thing upon greeting is a big hug.
You know, Sister Dalton, it sounds like in some ways listening to Emmy speak is when you said, I want it all back. It sounds like you're getting it all back, but through a different set of eyes is what you lived is now being engendered within the next generation with your grandchildren.
You know, it's true. And it's interesting because when my husband and I were just newly married, we read a study for our one-on-one family home evening by a Eugene Dalton, who's really no relation. But he talked about the fact that there's an amplification effect, that what a parent talks about in the home, their children will absorb and then amplify that. So if you're speaking negatively about something, your children will absorb that and then amplify it by an action. And we were very blessed to have that come into our lives at that time because we always were very deliberate in that way because we wanted our children to amplify, definitely, but we wanted to be sure they amplified the good things.
Right.
And so it thrills me when I hear Emmy talk about cuddle time because most days we would end up with two or three children in our bed. But those are bonding things. And I think what Emmy's saying, she's talking about a strategy. I think it's the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us a vision. And it's a vision of eternity. And it helps us to understand our identity. And when you know your identity, when you really feel that, it defines all the relationships. I think also what Emmy's saying is time. T-I-M-E. Time together is always a builder of relationships.
You know, I was reading a study similar to that. In the 1980s, there were a lot of studies about quality time versus quantity time. And what happened was a lot of people started dismissing the aspect of time, saying, well, I'm doing quality of time, so therefore I don't need to spend more time. But now most of the studies in families and relationships, marriage and in families, is showing that I like the way you did it. You spelled it out, that T-I-M-E is the essential. It's not a segregation of just quality versus quantity. It's time. You need to have a lot of it going on, both in quality and just having time together. And I liked what you talked about with the mundane, is that's really time spent together. It wasn't necessarily categories in quality versus quantity. It was time, and it was quality and quantity in that situation. That's a very important aspect. Now, here I'm sitting with Sister Dalton, Young Women's General President and a Young Mother of the Year, Emmy. And I'm just thinking, what two perfect people to have on this program. And I imagine a lot of people think, oh, yes, they are the experts of this relationship. They are perfect in every way.
And that is not the case. We're striving, though. We're striving to be perfect, but we're far from that. And I don't know that perfection defines relationships, really. I think there's a little ebb and flow there. We just have to each know we're striving.
Sometimes perfect relationships might be a little messy in the process, and it turns out well in the end.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason the gospel of Jesus Christ helps us define relationships, again, is just because we have that eternal perspective, but also because we aren't perfect and we can repent. We can change. I remember a time when Emmy was taking Suzuki violin, and that requires the involvement of a mother. And I got frustrated like I was a little child, and I didn't behave well and felt badly about it because I felt like I had wounded my precious daughter. And Emmy, I don't know how you felt when I'd lose my cool when you were taking violin, but at one point in time, I realized, oh, this isn't about the violin. It's not about how perfectly she plays. This is all about Emmy. This is all about my precious daughter. And I had to go to her as the grown-up and apologize and tell her that I was sorry, that I had lost my cool and my perspective.
Right.
And sometimes I think we think relationships should always be perfect. If they're not perfect, we sort of give up on them. But I think it's this ebb and flow, this trying and failing and letting each other know we're trying.
Right. Emmy, how do you remember that, and then and now?
Well, I'm certain that I probably provoked every response. I remember feeling like I was the expert, and the reality was my mom was there to be the guide. And regardless of whether she knew how to play the concerto on the violin, such as I did, she was still my teacher. And I do remember doing a lot of things in perhaps a preteen or teenage manner that would make any individual mad or stretch anyone to their limits. There was probably a lot of apologizing to do on my end, but how wonderful it is that my mom had the humility to apologize herself.
Sounds like the perfect part is the gospel, the principles of living the gospel.
Right.
It's great.
It's an interesting thing to be a mother of a daughter and watch her grow and develop and realize she does know more than me. I have a lot I can learn from her. I've said to Emmy often, when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
That's awesome. What's going on there that's behind that story?
That was a huge moment in time for me when I stopped and said, what is going on here?
Okay.
And realized, you know, that this daughter is precious. She's unique. She's a limited edition of one. And I actually had to go to Emmy and apologize and say, I'm so sorry. And I think that when we can apologize and admit we're sorry, we love each other, but we lose our cool, that then I think that can bond you and strengthen the relationship. So to anybody who's not had a good relationship with their daughter, I think that it takes a huge amount of swallowing your pride, good, especially when you're the mother and she's the daughter, to say, I blew it, and I am so sorry.
I imagine that we'd have to be patient, as daughters would be patient with mothers as well, and go through a similar process of swallowing pride on occasions and allowing advice to come that is needed at the moment, etc. It sounds like this is living the gospel.
Well, and there's such an interesting part of being a child and suddenly realizing my mom is a person. She's not just a mom. She's a person who has thoughts and feelings, and I need to pay regard to those. I think that happens as children grow and learn.
That's good. It's obvious that you love each other, and it's obvious that you respect each other, and that you have a good connection between each other. And when we're in situations where so much goodness is present, there's never enough time to explore it. There just never is. And I'm sad that we're out of time when we have so many more things that we could talk about and glean and share. And I wish that people could see your interaction together, not just hear it, but I think that your voices carry that love, admiration, and respect. And I think that this is available to every mother and daughter who will embrace, as you mentioned, the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ and live their lives to the best and allow the gospel to help them in these relationships. We have been discussing mother-daughter relationships on Gospel Solutions for Families. You have been listening to The Mormon Channel, and we thank you for joining us.
Gospel Solutions for Families is a program by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.